All lines are now bridged.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. I'm Mike Berry, I'm with ONC. And of course, we appreciate everyone's participation today. And we are going to get started with roll call. And I want to mention that Janet Hamilton, one of our co-chairs, has their CSTE annual conference this week. So she won't be joining us. So we'll trust our other co-chair, Carolyn Peterson, to take us through our meeting today. I'm going to start with roll and our co-chair, Carolyn Peterson.
Good morning.
Danielle Brooks. Denise Chrysler.
Good morning.
Jim Daniel. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Ngozi Adike. Claudia Grossman. Steve Hendricks.
Here.
Jim Georges. John Kansky.
I'm here.
Bryant Karras.
Good morning.
Stephen Lane.
Here.
Nell Lapras.
Good morning.
Les Leonard.
Present.
Denise Love.
Good morning.
Arianne Malik. Clem McDonald. Aaron Murray. Larry Mole. Abby Sears won't be with us. She's on vacation for the next few weeks. Cheryl Turney.
Morning.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone. And I'll now turn it over to Carolyn to get us started. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everyone. And thank you again for making time out of your schedule to work with us on this task force and be involved in developing some recommendations for HHS and the Office of the National Coordinator, CDC. It's really, really important work, and I know this is a particularly tough week for many folks with the CSTE meeting underway, so we really, really appreciate your taking time to attend the meeting today. Our plan today is pretty straightforward. We are going to work on the draft recommendations that are under consideration. We will have a public comment period. Our ONC leads, Brett and Brenda, will lead us through the next steps and kind of explain how all the different documents and links fit together so we have a clear idea of how to go forward. And then we will adjourn. With that, could we have the next slide, please? So again, here is our roster. I think we've all started to get to know each other quite well. The next slide, please. And again. So we will start by briefly reviewing our charge. This task force has two goals. First, to identify and prioritize policy and technical gaps associated with the effectiveness, interoperability, and connectivity of information systems relevant to public health. And second, to identify characteristics of an optimal future state for information systems that is relevant to public health and their use. Next slide, please. Our updated scope here, we are focusing on bidirectional data exchange between public health data systems and clinical data sources, and we are focusing on challenges, gaps, and the ideal future state for data sharing between public health systems and clinical data sources like EHRs, lab systems, and other things. Things that were in scope before will now be recommended for future high-tech discussions, and those things include the research and innovation, social services data, in-depth analyses of specific public health data systems. And that, again, is because of our time frame and our desire to be able to focus on the primary considerations. And we will be just addressing health equity and patient engagement in each of the topics rather than taking them on individually. Next slide, please. So with that, we are going to move into the draft recommendations portion. And if ONC could bring up onto the screen the draft document we'll be working in. We'll give them a minute to do the technical. So what we are seeing on the screen is a more formal kind of version of what we've been working on in the crosswalk. This is all of the information that we have come up with to date, our draft recommendations, and the comments you've been providing in the format that we will present it to the national coordinator. It is a step in the process of helping us move to that formal document so that we can ensure that we have our work done on time and that it can be discussed at the HITECH meeting on July 14. We will be providing the links to these things, but if you look back and forth, you can see how everything has been moved just to make this an easier to work in environment. I see Katie's pulling this up. Brett or Brenda, did you have any comments about this before we get started working through the draft?
Yeah, this is Brett, and I just wanted to make a note that I know during the HITECH meeting where we presented the preliminary recommendations, there were certainly some comments and asks to better group things, including by folks on our task force here. So this is also responding to that to kind of make more natural topic-based groupings to make the recommendations a little bit easier to work through. But otherwise, everything you said was right on the mark, Carolyn.
Go ahead, Bryant.
So Caroline, if process-wise, if there are, you said that will be provided a link. So if there are edits or suggested changes, we'll be able to do so in track changes to make those recommendations. Or
yes, that's right. I believe ONC has set up this. Is that correct, Katie?
Katie's line might not be open, but I think we're working to get it into the Google Doc probably in the next 24 hours or so. So we will be able to send that link around. We may kind of continue just to use the comment functionality just so everyone has full visibility into the changes and we can come to agreement around what those are before we have them things struck in from what's there already.
Okay. It would be really helpful for that to be clarified in the instructions that you send out just so everyone understands how to best use the document and ensures that we're all on the same page and, you know, contributing positively to the process.
I ask, is there, you know, some minor wordsmithing that I didn't want to occupy this call time with, but I've been wanting to make and not sure how to.
That sounds good. Steve Eichner, I see your hand is raised.
Thank you so much. And to build on Bryant's comments, please make sure that there are ways to comment that are not necessarily using Google Docs, because there's some of us that have institutional concerns about using alternative email addresses for logging into systems. Secondly, can you clarify a little bit about the focus solely on bidirectional exchange? Because there is still data that's being collected by some public health agencies that is unidirectional data submissions, at least for the initial purpose behind the data collection, and would like some clarification about whether that is in scope or not. Thank you.
Brett or Brenda, could you address that, please?
Yeah, this is Brett. I can address that. I think it would be either side of that bidirectional exchange, Steve, not necessarily just the two-way flow, but either one way or the other or both.
Thank you. I would suggest clarifying the word bidirectional then, because that often is implied to support true bidirectional, not A, B, or A and B.
Great, thanks. So with that, I think we are we ready to start into the situational awareness data section? Brett and Brenda? Have we got our document up where it needs to be?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So what we have on the screen is picking up from where we were in the crosswalk, looking at the situational awareness data section. And I will start by just working through. These are the same draft recommendations that were in the crosswalk. I'll read through those, and we can start the comment process. The first one is that ONC should work with the community to prioritize adoption of new U.S. CDI data standards to consistently enhance reporting requirements to support public health responses. And an additional piece is to standardize address information collection. Whoops. Document is off the screen. To standardize address information collection and interoperability to facilitate geolocation and merging with census and other SDOH data. Also, that ONC should coordinate with CDC, ASPR, and state and local health jurisdictions to develop preparedness plans specific to data needs and reporting requirements during a high-consequence public health threat. All stakeholders involved should be consulted to define metrics, data definitions, standards, and procedures for triggering enhanced reporting. ONC should work with CDC to define standard transport mechanism that public health receiving systems can accept and to establish standardly defined metrics. And finally, ONC and CDC should work to ensure that Firebase standards under development are flexible enough to capture multiple types of resources and data needs. This will allow standards to be utilized for unforeseen data collection needs during high-consequence public health threats. So I know that there are additional things to be discussed in this section, but let's start with those four since they're on the screen and see what feedback we have. I see Steve Eichner, you have your hand raised. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. I think one of the biggest challenges in looking at the electronic submission of this type of data is looking at the ability to extract data from relevant systems. Looking at the data that comes out of EMRs or electronic health record systems might be readily accessible through FHIR and can be defined probably through the US CDI. Looking at data sources other than EHRs, such as inventory management systems or staffing systems, have been kind of outside the scope of the US CDI or outside the scope of ONC and CMS purview. I think one of the challenges is going to be having standards that don't apply solely to EHRs, but across the board to different types of systems and different kinds of environments. So really beginning with a standardization of coding for the types of information that are necessary, regardless of what system they're coming out of, is probably a good place to start. And then looking at automating, reporting that data, using things like FHIR standards, regardless of the source system, become much more relevant. But I think we do need to start at the building blocks, which is looking at data standards for how we're coding information at the start, and then working and building from there. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Stephen Lane.
Just building on Steve's comments, from the perspective of US CDI, one thing to consider would be whether there should be a situational awareness data class added to that structure, and thinking about what really are the core elements of situational awareness, realizing that those might be different in an inpatient versus a community-based versus an standard ambulatory setting, but just starting to, as we define what are the standard data, what are the standard potential responses, value sets, thinking about USCDI as a vehicle to bring those forward, I think would be helpful.
Thanks, Stephen. Brian?
Yeah, thank you. One clarifying question is that there's a focus on standardizing address information, and I'm wondering if to stay consistent with what we've spoken about elsewhere in the document, should we include or clarify that address and contact information, which is to make sure that it isn't phone numbers and other mechanisms to reach back and identify or get further information from the individual themselves isn't misunderstood. And then in terms of the geolocation, I think that we could specify in this document a sense of rolling up those geolocations to a unit of measurement that is relevant for a given jurisdiction. Zip code in some states can be as large as the entire, we have a zip code in the state of Washington, for example, it's the size of Rhode Island. How does one geocode, not to necessarily the census tract, but to a unit of location that that makes sense for situational awareness without compromising individual's identity?
Thanks, Bryant. Arian?
Thank you. So just first of all, on that last comment, there's been some work between ONC and USPS to better codify address information and other contact information, but particularly address information for geolocating data. I wanted to comment relative to inclusion of situational awareness and other data for situational awareness data that might be contained in hospital systems that are not EHRs. I posted a link to the actual regulatory authority, the legislative authority for ONC. And if you look at it, it's pretty broad and not confined to EHRs. I think there's a misconception that ONC's regulatory authority and certification authority are necessarily confined to clinical systems and EHR systems. And really the focus of the law is in construction of a health information system, that a health information technology infrastructure that allows for, and then you'll see a whole set of outcomes, including public health and reduction of health disparities. So I don't think we should be afraid that by making recommendations and situational awareness that might affect, for example, HRIS systems or supply chain management systems that are in use by hospitals, that we're somehow extending outside of ONC's range of regulatory authority, even though I think we note that they haven't yet exercised as much regulatory authority outside of clinical systems. Thank you.
Thanks, Arian. Les?
Yes. Recommendation 3 is really the meat of this proposal here. And so I think what we want to do is to look at what situation awareness is and to be able to minimize the burden from that. From my perspective, what we really would like to do is predict the hospital's current capacity and their emergency surge capacity from routinely available data. But I really like the third recommendation there is sort of saying we need to develop the standards for reporting what these are to nominalize those, and then there's these ancillary systems, but then we'd have all the problems of developing the incentives for the manufacturers of those systems to adopt them, regulatory areas for things that haven't existed before, which might be a long road, though there is authority to do this. Rather than that, I think that the goal has to be to say, what is it that we need to predict? You know, is a hospital functioning for trauma? Is a hospital functioning for stroke? Is a hospital functioning for infectious disease related to a pandemic? And then looking at how ADT data can help us predict that and sort of, you don't really need to know today, I don't believe, how many exact beds unless you're routing ambulances. What you need to know is whether somebody's at a yellow, red, green type level of status is whether they can accept transfers and how much capacity they have to deal with the emergency problems in the area. So I think if we, again, if we simplify this by the ONC developing clear goals with those other parties, CDC, ASPR, state and health jurisdictions for situation awareness, that you know, have an all hazards approach that kind of indicate whether a facility is able to respond and how much reserve capacity it has. That would be better, and to do that with less precision than knowing the exact number of beds, because I don't think that that's actually knowable a lot of the time. Where, how many beds, in an emergency setting, you can put a bed in a hallway or you can convert an OR to an ICU if you need it. I can go on. But the issue is really whether the hospital is in any status to help other people's problems. Is it doing fine on its own, but it can't help other people? Or is it overcapacity and we need, in a particular setting, and we need to think about how to relieve that issue? And that I believe, is the core of situation awareness in this setting.
Thanks, Les. Let's go to Steve Hinrichs.
Yes, I wanted to endorse and expand on Steve Eichner's comment about address. It needs to be more than address, and that is no longer maybe the most effective way of identifying individuals or getting back to them. As we've commented before, a cell phone number has now become the most permanent way of identifying and connecting with individuals, and so it has to be more than address, and we should say innovative or something to that effect. Thank you.
Thank you. Bryant?
I was just going to comment on, I think that it absolutely ONC's authority may exist over those other systems beyond EHR, EMRs, but I'm concerned that the levers or incentives or influence needs to be really explored. You know, what mechanisms do we have to improve some of these systems that did not benefit from investment in meaningful use and promoting interoperability incentives? Specifically, you know, those previously mentioned inventory systems, but even independent pharmacy systems and laboratory information management systems. Public health has gotten a lot of pushback from regional and smaller laboratories that don't did not have the capacity or capability to enhance their systems, even to do HL7 reporting. We need to figure out how we can encourage them to do the right thing.
Thanks. Stephen Lane?
I just wanted to comment that, you know, when we talk about situational awareness, our primary focus is always on hospitals and acute care settings. But, you know, in a disaster situation, certainly urgent care centers and primary care offices are going to have the ability to play a role in the response if indeed they are up and running. And if we knew something about their capacity, you know, do they have oxygen, do they have a crash cart, do they have the ability to, you know, provide IV therapy, et cetera. So I don't think that we should limit our thinking only to the acute care setting.
I don't see any other hands raised among the task force members. Are there other comments? Or do we have any task force members who are just on the phone and have thoughts?
Do we need a question? There's a reference to work with community, and I'm wondering what. No, I lost it on the page. Can't remember which dot point that was under. In the opening introduction. What do we mean by community? Public health community, the clinical community, state, local.
I think in previous discussions or documents, there's been a reference to data from organizations that are in the community. So perhaps that's social service organizations or schools or other entities that are not public health or a clinical environment specifically, where there might be relevant data.
Okay.
That can be used in a different number of ways. Did you have any additional thoughts, ONC, or any clarifications for us?
Sorry, I was coming off mute. I think that's right. I think it's just something we need to kind of narrow down and define a little bit more.
Thanks. I see Arian's raised his hand. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. So there's a little side chat on regulatory authority, and it caused me to remember that when the ISP task force interviewed stakeholders from the SANR project that's working on standards for situational awareness, one of the clear call-outs was lack of policy coordination. So I believe we should make recommendations for alignment of policy coordination and incentives. We have some regulatory levers that in some cases we're not using, and in other cases, the situational awareness requirements that are coming through ASPR may or may not be aligned with situational awareness for pandemic preparedness that are coming through CDC. And so when we think about incentives and we think about requirements, we need to make sure that the secretary, that ONC is working with the secretary to align relevant policy requirements, granting programs, and regulatory requirements to create capabilities rather than, as we previously mentioned in public health, sort of stovepiped preparedness for X, preparedness for natural disaster, preparedness for bioterrorism, or preparedness for pandemic. We really should be thinking about capabilities with aligned policy incentives for situational awareness. Thank you.
Thanks. John Kansky?
Yeah, Carolyn, I want to make sure I'm not making my comment at the wrong time. I think you said that there was more recommendations on situational awareness data, or is this the end of that topic?
There are another few that we'll pull up when we finish these. It seems a little easier if we can keep them on the screen so people can see them. But
I have a comment about whether we want to formulate a recommendation on where we think ONC should focus on the sources of data for situational awareness, and I don't know if that's covered on the next page.
If it's not, we can certainly take your comments and use it as the basis to start one.
Yep, I'll hold. Thank you.
Okay. Denise Kreisler.
Hi,
Sure. Not sure if it'll belong here or another place, but recognizing the role of law and should standards be something that are implemented through legal requirements, through rulemaking, through executive orders, how that should happen. And I assume that's part of the emergency preparedness, planning and preparedness work, and the jurisdiction's planning documents.
Thanks, Denise. Being that we have no other hands raised, I will ask ONC if we could scroll down to the remainder of the draft recommendations under situational awareness. There we go. And so I will start by reading these. ONC should coordinate with CDC to support states in establishing share infrastructure for collecting situational awareness and public health data, and to support identified core public health data system functions. Infrastructure should exist at the local health department and/or through a centralized system such as HIE, APHL, AIMS, and so forth. Second, ONC should coordinate with EHR industry experts and CDC to identify core functionalities needed within EHR to support all data needs necessary to respond to a high-consequence public health threat. ONC should coordinate within HHS to identify ways to incentivize the implementation of these functionalities. And finally, ONC should explore the levers for incentivizing the reporting of situational data by hospitals. ONC should also explore certifying hospital-based technologies beyond EHRs. ONC should ensure that EHR certification includes functionalities required for public health operations and coordination of the health system among providers is in place, including response to queries via fire and bulk fire and rapid deployment of POC decision support. So a lot there. Go ahead and raise your hands, please, task force members, and we'll start a discussion. Brian, go ahead.
Thank you. I think I've made this comment before, but I'm wondering if there's a way that we can clarify in this so that it starts to make its way into other ONC guidance or the implementation guides themselves. The use of optional components of standards has led to a lot of confusion amongst implementations from our clinical and vendor counterparts. Oftentimes, CSTE, CDC, and formerly ISDS would put forward recommendations, and because of varying laws from state to state, certain components would be designated as optional, that in certain states it was required to be reported, but in other states it wasn't. So in the standard, it might be designated as optional. That becomes problematic when the interpretation of optional means that it doesn't have to be implemented or enabled in a given technology's function, thinking that it's at the discretion of the reporter whether it's optional or not, as opposed to each individual state gets to designate which of the optional components are wanted or required in a given state. Thank you.
Thanks, Bryant. Steve Eichner, go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate what Bryant said and do support that as well. Looking at the first recommendation on the page, it may not be necessary to have data infrastructure at the local level. It would certainly be plausible to share that infrastructure at the state level for local health jurisdictions. I'm not sure that the ownership of the hardware is critical. I think access to the data for the appropriate user, whether that be state, a local health department, or a different group of emergency responders in Texas, we use trauma service areas to serve large portions of the state. So I think we need to be a little bit broader in our thinking about where infrastructure needs to be located. Obviously, the data needs to be accessible by the appropriate users, but where the infrastructure is situated may not be as critical.
Thanks, Steve. Do we have other comments from Public Health Task Force members? Please raise your hands. Go ahead, Denise.
Yes, I just wanted to agree with the last comment that not to be too prescriptive where the hub is at the local level, because each state or local jurisdiction has already some structures or partnerships in place that may be a logical centralized point and not at the local health department necessarily. So I think leaving that flexibility open is important.
Thanks, Denise. And for the transcriptionist, that was Denise Love. Do we have other comments from task force members? Okay, it looks like we can move on to the next section. This is the section on individual engagement. We currently have one draft recommendation here. I'll read that now. ONC should work with appropriate HHS stakeholders to identify methods for providing more transparency regarding the collection and use of patient data. ONC should also work with OCR and CDC to establish more standard privacy guidance and to suggest standard individual-centric language and messaging. If you have comments, please raise your hands in Adobe. Go ahead.
This is John. It seems a little simplistic maybe, but it seems like an important aspect of individual engagement is, I'll use the word marketing, the value of public health generally. I think the pandemic and the pandemic response has done a pretty good job of raising brand awareness, if you will, of public health. But I think on an ongoing basis, an important aspect of individual engagement is just ensuring that citizens understand the importance of public health. And I think that could affect participation in vaccination campaigns or how they react to information about how their information is gathered and used. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Les Leonard, please.
Yes. I think we can strengthen this individual engagement recommendation by suggesting that the ONC work to develop appropriate stakeholders like CDC and others to ensure that patients and their family members have access to situational awareness data as events are evolving to allow them to better direct their own healthcare to facilities that are not over capacity.
Thanks, Les. Steve Eichner?
Yes, I think I've got 3 points here. One, we should look at leveraging other data sources regarding patients on situational awareness needs, such as evacuation data or evacuation registration systems that are often implemented by public safety or other organizations where individuals with disabilities may register that, hey, they've got electric-dependent tools or need assistance evacuating, and those types of data that can inform situational awareness where it might not be currently linked in. In the broader context, communications about patient privacy and data access need to be in plain and simple language, rather than saying your data may be shared for coordination of care and like providing additional explanation about what that actually means. And thirdly, looking at disclosures of data exchange, patients should be able to access a patient portal or other resource to identify all of the disclosures made by one of their providers regarding their data, not just disclosures that are not payment, treatment, and operations. It should be perfectly reasonable for a patient to understand everywhere their data has been shared and for what purpose. Given electronic health record systems, it should be relatively easy to track and report out where the sharing is occurring without placing an additional burden on providers. Thank you.
Thanks. Stephen Lane, please.
I want to echo what Steve Eichner just said. I do think that patient access to the data, you know, maintained in public health systems about them is a desirable goal. So I think going beyond the notion of how what data was shared with what agencies, you know, at what time for what purpose, really, I mean, if you think about patients beyond sort of emergency preparedness, emergency situational awareness, but just in general, I think thinking of public health as a data source to which individuals have access to their own data, you know, in the spirit of the information blocking rules. I mean, public health today is not an actor under information blocking, but I could certainly imagine a desirable future state where it would be and where patients would have the ability to access data there as well.
Thanks, Stephen. Arian, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to re-endorse this notion of the right of individual access or the right of patient access to data collected about them. And I think this can be expressed by contemplating a policy framework that applies the HIPAA right of individual access to public health data systems that collect personally identifiable information. That would ordinarily be contained in the data set that applies for individual access.
Thanks, Arian. Brian?
Thank you. I think one of the comments is a little bit on a different angle, but one of the comments I think we could do here in individual engagement is identify that it's not just HHS that needs to be engaged with by ONC. The FCC could be brought into the recommended actions. Many jurisdictions, many states and locals across the country in the effort to utilize contact tracing and case investigation were met with difficulties in reaching individuals because the phone number systems or the text messaging systems were screened by the individuals as, you know, spam or mass texting, really in oftentimes slowing or limiting the way that the public health could engage with individuals. And perhaps there needs to be, you know, specific call-outs for public health's ability to utilize these infrastructures.
Thanks, Bryant. Are there other comments from Task Force members? Please raise your hands. I see Denise Love. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. This may be way
sorry,
out of scope.
And it's FCC, not FTC. Sorry.
This may be way out of scope, it's just an idea that fired in my brain after my second cup of coffee. So, you know, during weather events in a rural area where I spend time, we get these flash pushes, you know, just beware of, or, you know, fires in area, or, and I'm just wondering if some sort of benchmarking or aggregation and pushing out to consumers, and maybe this is happening in some areas that I'm not aware of, but I think that also is another way to engage folks on a public health emergency that isn't, that's accepted in other areas that we might want to think about or expand on.
Thanks, Denise. Other comments from task force members? Please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, the next section in the document is immunizations, and we don't have any recommendations at that level yet, so I'm going to suggest that we move past that and past the non-communicable diseases to take a look at the lab and case reporting section. That is an area where we do have some draft recommendations that we can talk about today. Get that feedback, and then during the next week, you'll be able to enter suggested draft recommendations about immunizations and non-communicable diseases, just in the interest of time and trying to get through as much as we can efficiently. So with that, I will read the first six draft recommendations under lab and case reporting. Number one, CLIA and EHR certification authority to require the use of electronic orders, use CMS payment levers to require reportable data at the lab. Two, ONC should work with CMS and NVLAP to incentivize and or require adoption of ONC ALT certification across all care settings, private and commercial labs. Number three, CMS and ONC should work with NVLAP to require the adoption of ONC ALT certification that incorporates HL7 standards. Number four, ONC should work with CDC to standardize reporting requirements across states and jurisdictions to facilitate data sharing of lab reports through use of adopted standards. Number five, ONC should examine CLIA and EHR certification authority to acquire the use of electronic orders and use CMS payment levers to require core data elements as reportable data from labs. And number six, state and local health departments should consider how to leverage existing health IT standards to push clinical decision support to providers. So I see Arian Malik has his hand up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. So first of all, I think there's some duplication between bullet one and bullet five. So we probably should align those. We also should contemplate creating a single set of regulatory levers. So CMS, CMS, CLIA, NVLAP the regulatory levers here. So, ONC has a certification program, NIST has a voluntary certification program, CLIA defines the regulatory requirements for labs. So we really should be thinking about those three as working in concert and conjunction. And every time we mention one, we probably should mention the other two. But this is really, again, just to draw the breadcrumbs here for people who might be confused by this, the reason that we didn't get contact tracing information in a public health context was that in many cases, the lab didn't have the contact information, even though the source EHR where the lab order was created did have that contact information, and it wasn't required to transfer from the EHR to the lab because we don't have standardized lab ordering standards, even when such standards exist. Thank you.
Thanks, Arian. Bryant?
Hi. Just to follow up, I want to make sure there's a clarification or a recognition that that word contact in contact tracing is different than the word contact in the contact information that needs to be included with the lab result. It can lead to some confusion in a report like this. My comment is one that I wanted to bring to the task force attention. Steve and I have been trying to gather input from states across the country on electronic laboratory reporting to come up with some recommendations from the field, if you will. One of our challenges has been around reportable lab data, and the use of the word of the quotes around reportable. I'm wondering if we need to be clear. During this pandemic, negative laboratory results on COVID was made reportable so that public health agencies and our federal counterparts could have situational awareness on the percent positivity that of labs that were being performed and have an understanding on whether or not laboratory testing capacity was being utilized across the country. I think there are better ways for us to ascertain that denominator than receiving every single lab. It puts an unnecessary strain on our infrastructure and systems that we may be able to come up with better ways to accomplish. I feel like ONC could be instrumental in determining how to accomplish that.
Thanks, Brian.
Did you want to anything to add to that?
Go ahead.
I agree with where Brian's going. I've got a couple of other comments, but we'll wait my turn.
How about Steve Eichner?
I agree with what Brian said. I do have a couple of other observations. One, while the immediate need may be on COVID-19 data, some of those measures are actually maybe applicable to other conditions, both going on now and for the future. So we want to make sure that our recommendations are not focused solely on COVID-19. At the same time, we're looking through the recommendations of looking at adoptions of standards. We also should include some measures or recommendation regarding measuring success and evaluation and completeness so that there's a standardized or methodical way to measure what laboratories have successfully implemented the suggestions that we're making, as well as their progress and the completeness, for example, of messages submitted, so that we can do a better job of understanding what laboratories may have issues in completing reporting and work with them to resolve data gaps. Right now, there is not a good set of standardized tools to get there. As Brian suggested earlier, with looking at determining things like what a denominator or an appropriate denominator might be. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Steve Hendricks, please.
Yes, so I think the first bullet is a very important topic, but I think it needs additional work or clarification. I'm not quite sure what we mean by require the use of electronic orders. Are we also talking orders and reports? And I'm not sure what we mean by require reportable data at lab. So again, we should be talking about electronic transfer of data or require reportability of laboratory results as determined by the state and or CDC. We should be a little more clarity and a little bit more innovative on what we're talking about there.
Do we have other comments from Public Health Task Force members? Please raise your hands. Or if you're just on the phone, let me know you'd like to speak. Okay, it looks like we don't have any additional comments on this section. If you could scroll down, ONC, to bring us to the next grouping under lab and case reporting. So here we have three draft recommendations with a subpoint on the third. I'll read those now. First, state and local health departments should consider how to leverage existing health IT standards to push clinical decision support to providers. Second, CDC and ONC should work to harmonize reporting requirements, roles, and capabilities across jurisdictions and states, including data elements, timelines for submission, and communication with providers. And then adoption of standards. CMS and ONC should work to ensure demographic information is both collected and sent from clinical and lab, LIS and reference lab, to public health in a timely manner through standards adoption. ONC should work with industry experts to develop provider and consumer education surrounding the collection of race and ethnicity data. ONC should certify EHRs, LIMS, public health data systems, and other relevant health IT systems on extant laboratory order and resulting standards, for example, LRI-LOI, and CMS, CLIA, should certify labs on conformance to standards. The sub-bullet point here is that EHR and EMR vendors need to elevate their testing and certification of the public health measures beyond the minimum to not only address structure, but also to validate content after system deployment. So if you have thoughts, task force members, please raise your hands.
Can you scroll up so we can see the top bullet? Yeah, I see it crosses the page.
While ONC is doing that, I'll call on Steve Hinrichs, please. If we're not able to show both pages at once, can we move to the bottom of the previous page so the group can see that? There we go. Whoops.
Yeah, can I just comment that I think the part about collection of demographic data is very important, but it needs to be separated from the issue of standards, or at least parallel, meaning it's very important that we collect the demographic data. But that's a different topic from than communicating or transporting it. But so that would be my comment, that we have to clarify that particular issue.
Thank you. Stephen Lane,
I really want to emphasize the first bullet that you read, though, I'm at the bottom of page 8, about clinical decision support from public health to providers. You know, we have a very nascent capability of this within the electronic case reporting methodology, with the reportability response coming back. We have done hardly anything to leverage that capability. But, you know, as a reporting provider myself, I think the idea of having a bidirectional dialogue where public health can provide me with input about things like, you know, antibiotic resistance patterns in my community, recommended treatments. I mean, this, I'm dealing with this right now with a couple I'm caring for with tuberculosis, where, you know, there's a lot of phone calls and faxes and things. And what we need is we need real-time, bidirectional data exchange to support guidance, that is to say decision support, from public health back to treating providers in the community, you know, be they in, you know, hospitals or ambulatory settings. You know, we can leverage direct messaging. We should eventually be able to leverage FHIR. But I think that that's very important, that the CDS component as a part of this bidirectional data exchange we've been discussing.
Thanks, Stephen. Steve Hinrichs, go ahead, please.
I just want to make sure or ask the question, have we specifically identified somewhere in our recommendations what we believe to be the new minimum standard for data associated with a laboratory test order and report? Meaning as it stands now with CLIA and CAP, for example, it is really only the individual name and or second identifier. So have we gone on to specify that, including what we are now talking about in terms of either address, contact information, ordering physician, et cetera? Has that been put into our recommendations?
I will refer that to Brett and Brenda.
This is Brenda with ONC. No, we have not specified that in the recommendation, so that definitely seems like a great opportunity.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go to Steve Eichner.
Thank you. I do want to support what Brian said earlier about, and in chat, about the rules for CSTE and decision making. I think that the recommendations need to be modified significantly to include state and public health jurisdictions beyond CDC in making decisions. It's really vital that the data users and the data consumers play a substantial role in determining what the data needs actually are on the consumption level, rather than CDC or ONC specifying what public health needs to accomplish its business goals and complete its charges as directed by the state or local legislative bodies. Those are really decisions that are made at the state and local level, and they're really the driving force. There's a good opportunity for collaboration, but those decisions should not be made at a higher level. Otherwise, epidemiologists and care providers at the local level are not going to have the data that they need to accomplish the specific duties that they've got assigned to them.
Thanks. Additional comments from task force members? Please raise your hand.
I can't get to the raise hand button, but I think, can we add the word CSTE into that paragraph? It was just being commented on. CDC and ONC should include CSTE.
I was at least CSD, if not others. I would be even broader than that from the amendment. Steve Eichner.
Thanks, Brian.
Is that supported, Brian?
Yeah, well, I think
when our chair is back, she can most appropriately figure out how best to identify how to refer to.
Right, agreed.
Co-chair.
Do we have additional comments from task force members? One thing I see in this section is some reference to certification of systems, public health data systems, and I don't see that there's a lot of comment on that yet. I'm wondering if we can explore that a bit before we head to public comment or the policy recommendation. Go ahead, Les.
So in the past, CDC has required as part of grant programs to states the use or incorporation of certain standards in their grant response, you know, in systems that were funded by grant programs. And I think that we've determined that that is insufficient, that the incorporation of standards does not necessarily mean that the system is capable of interoperability according to those standards. So in this situation, I think that what's essential is to develop a certification process for public health data systems that is similar to what is applied for EHRs, so that there's conformance testing and the ability to ascertain that a product from a vendor actually meets a certain interoperability standard. Now, this is difficult because, you know, there's both not been a lot of funding in this area, and that a lot of mom-and-pop IT shops fund or mom-and-pop IT shops implement public health data systems. And so this might pose some significant burdens on the people who have existing systems to bring them up to sort of a national standard. But it would be essential to be able to move things forward, because we can't just name a standard, because it's we've shown that that doesn't mean much for interoperability already.
Thanks, Les. Other thoughts from task force members related to certification or any of these lab reporting topics? Steve Eichner, go ahead, please.
I guess the other point I would add as kind of a final note on the subject is looking at CDC and ONC supporting participation by public health in the development of data standards in a more active way.
Thanks. Are there any other thoughts on this section? What I see is that we have public comment coming up in about 7 minutes, and we need to stick fairly closely to the schedule. But I'm also concerned about launching into the policy or health equity recommendations right now, because I think those will be longer discussions than we can cover in 7 minutes. So I'm just trying to be sure we've covered everything in these sections today that we wanted to before we move past them next week. So we've looked at situational awareness data, got quite a lot of feedback there. And then here's some work on lab and case reporting and individual engagement. I'm wondering if we have any thoughts about any of these topics, in particular the certification criteria that we might want to recommend. And I see Bryant has his hand up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, if you could scroll up just a little bit in the document, I think earlier in this section on – there's a reference to the creation of share systems. I think there was a typo in the report, but are we recommending a shared and single platform or a shared capability that can be replicated across states and local health jurisdictions? No, I'm not seeing where it was in the document. I'll have to go back and add these wordsmithing suggestions. I just want to make sure that we don't inadvertently make a recommendation that we didn't intend.
And just to put a little clarity around the schedule, our intention at next week's meeting on June 24 is to finish our once through of all these draft recommendations. So we will get to the health policy and the health equity section, and then, you know, whatever else is relevant for this kind of a level. And then at the July 1st and July 8th meetings, the goal is to go through everything, looking at comments, and try to finalize the recommendations in the format we want them to provide to the national coordinator. So we will be working specifically with recommendations through the next three meetings. And of course, Brett and Brenda will be providing the links to these documents and giving us some further advice about how to use them to ensure that everyone is able to go in and, you know, make your commentary and suggestions. But I see Steve Eichner's hand is up. Go ahead, please.
I think one other component is looking at timing of implementation of recommendations and technology changes, both in terms of looking at federal financial support and state and local jurisdictions' ability and timeframes to implement projects, especially if there are funding matches required that our procurement cycles may not support incredibly quick, fast implementations of large technology projects, and that approvals from state and local legislatures may be required to advance certain efforts. And taking that into account is critical as we're implementing timeframes, so that all boats can be floated simultaneously, and the hard work that providers may be doing in implementing new standards and technologies can also be supported on the receiving end. It does no good to raise only half the boats.
Thanks. Additional comments? Okay, seeing no hands raised, we are 2 minutes ahead for public comment. Are we able to go to that now, Mike?
Yes, we can, Carolyn. Operator, can we open up the line for public comment?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Carolyn?
Great, thanks, Mike. So I think at this point I will pass the mic to Brett and Brenda to give us some general information about the different documents and where they are and how they are looking for us to use those so that we will be able to review a slate of recommendations and finalize those coming up in the next few weeks. So go ahead, Brett and Brenda.
Hi, Carolyn. So I wanted to let the group know that as part of our next steps, we will be sending out the final survey this week. Now, to make sure that we are able to stick to the schedule that Carolyn outlined earlier, where we're really focusing on the recommendations, you will notice that the survey is a bit longer than previous surveys that we've sent out. Some of the topics covered in the survey will include immunizations, which we now know we don't have recommendations for quite yet, and we'll be able to draw some of those out from the survey, as well as medical countermeasures, and if possible, also digging into certification criteria. So given that it is a much longer survey than what we're used to seeing in the previous surveys, please feel free to only focus on the questions that are relevant to you or that you feel inspired to speak to. And now typically we do have an earlier deadline, but we're asking if possible to get the surveys back to us by Tuesday. But given that it is longer, we will be open to extending that deadline for the surveys to be returned to us by the date of our next meeting on June 24th. But of course, earlier would be better. But again, we'll have a little more flexibility this time. Also, what we're hoping to do within the next week or so is to have Carolyn and Janet start reaching out to specific members to take on refining specific recommendations. Additionally, if you're interested in refining specific topics, please reach out to myself and Brett so that we can start tracking who would like to take on specific topics and recommendations for further refinement. And with that, I'll hand it off to Brett so he can tell us a little more about the documents that we're working with at this point.
Thanks, Brenda. Great overview there. Hi, everyone. So as the group knows, we have been asking you to complete answers to survey questions through SurveyMonkey. We've been compiling those and have been and will continue to send out the full responses to the task force for those materials so everyone can take a look at those and to help us form discussions. The group has then been pulling those. By the group, I mean the ONC team has been reviewing those, pulling out key themes and some draft recommendations into the crosswalk. And then from that crosswalk, we have been most recently pulling those recommendations into the final report format for us to start to prepare the final report for the recommendations. I believe we'll be using that as kind of the main place to be refining the recommendations and wordsmithing those from here on out. But Brenda, feel free to correct me if we're still going to be using the crosswalk for items as well. So in terms of where those are located, the SurveyMonkey summary Excel documents have been provided to task force members, but I think it would be helpful for us to also include those into the Google Drive folder where the crosswalk has historically been and where we'll also be including this recommendations report version as well. In terms of making edits and refinements, we will be using the comment only function for that so that we can make sure that everyone's voices are heard and that there's not an opportunity for things to be deleted or removed without group consensus. And I know there was some questions and comments around alternative means of access when those links are provided. If you do want us to send any resource in a direct document version to email to task force members, we can certainly do that as well.
Thanks, Brett and Brenda. Task force members, do you have any questions? I want to be sure that we're all on the same page, and I know we've had quite a lot of documents and surveys and links, so please let's be sure we get all the clarification we need so we can proceed effectively and productively. Okay, well, seeing no hands and hearing no questions from anyone, I would just ask if thoughts do come up or questions after this conference call, please email Janet and I or our ONC partners, and we will work to answer those questions for you. I want to thank everyone for dedicating time today. I know it's been a particularly challenging week for folks working in public health with the CSTE meeting, and we really appreciate your coming today and sharing your perspective. It's a very important part of the recommendation drafting process. We're really grateful for your feedback. With that, I will pass the mic to Mike Berry for any last comments or information for us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate that. And we just want to pass along my thanks to the task force and the public for joining us today. We will reconvene next Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time for our next task force meeting. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.